Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, g'day, it's the Prof here. Just a quick little note to say that this podcast was recorded down at Super Round Melbourne between two games in front of a live audience. So if you're hearing a few weird rumblings in the background, it's the rugby punters having a bloody good time. Hope you enjoyed the interview with the new Wallaby coach, Joe Schmidt. It in.
Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for kickoffs and kick-ons.
All right, where is Hugo? Are we good to go here, mate? Where are you, Hugo? That's Hugo, everybody. Big round of applause for Hugo.
The bum bag.
Yeah. Do you like his bum bag?
It's a new bum bag.
It's a great bum bag.
Okay, here we go. Hello, g'day, and welcome to the Coco Show. That's right, kickoffs and kick-ons on location at Super Round Melbourne. We've had a wonderful weekend. It is Sunday. Normally we record on a Monday, but it's a day early today. We've just watched the Brumbies sadly go down to the Chiefs in what I'd call a nail biter. It was close. And for the first time ever, the Coco Show has a live studio audience in. Hello, everybody. Welcome. We won't show you, but there's about 20,000 people that have come in to see us this afternoon. So many. People. Shut the door. Too many. It is bigger than Tay Tay. Who said that? We are bigger than Taylor Swift right now. Now, we have a very, very special guest. And what we like to do, as you've seen on our show, is we have intros that Tommy Erskine writes. And for those of you that have been following along, every week Matt Giddo makes fun of how I read. Says I can't read, that I'm hopeless. So there's some good news for Matt.
Yeah, I think I know where this is going.
You get to read Joe's intro. Yep. And we've got some hard-hitting questions for him.
Okay. All right. Gee, it's a big one. Okay.
Just skip it.
No. This will be good. So usually Tommy will spray the guest that comes on. Hopefully this is going to be nice. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest on this week's episode of The Coco Show. When we sat down to plan the event of this podcast, we threw together a list of potential guests, and this bloke was certainly at the very top. So get excited for the man that is most certainly on our show's Mount Rushmore. This gentleman was born in Northland. I know, I'm hearing you, mate.
Say Joe Schmidt.
Right, he was born, yeah, Joe, a coach, total whale. So raise your glasses and give him a big green and gold welcome to a man who will help Australian rugby Schmidt it in once again. He's our very own Kiwi-born four-leaf clover and is the one and only Mr. Joe Schmidt.
Hey!
Welcome, Joe.
Welcome.
Thanks, Gits.
Joe, thank you. Great reading. Gits, great reading. Now, Joe, thank you for joining us on this little show. We, for a long time, had a catchphrase last season, and it was shit it in.
right? It's an Australian saying. I don't know whether you know this one. It's basically the idea that we're going to win, and we're going to win easily and convincingly. And so Drew slightly adapted it this year when you became the coach of the Wallabies.
Oh, we're doing it.
Yeah, we're unveiling.
And he, so Drew changed it to Schmidt it in. So
for those of you listening on the podcast, we are handing Joe a brand new shirt that has the Schmidt it in logo on it.
And
we've got you on here.
We've got you on here, Joe. I don't.
Well, yeah, we'd love you to put it on.
It's better than that ASICS rubbish you got on there.
Joe, thanks for joining us. First question, 3 days in the job. Started 3 days ago. Have you fixed Australian rugby yet? Have you?
No.
Okay.
Second question.
Yes, yeah.
Have you signed a contract with Japan?
I haven't had a meeting with them.
Heard that before, haven't we?
Now, Joe, we've been down here all weekend, and we've had a good time. Hence why Drew doesn't have a voice.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I might have to be sweet this week and just not talk.
You'll be right.
Good for you to come down to Super Round, so the Aussie team's getting out and about. Have you liked what you've seen so far?
Up until, you know, that last game, that nail biter, as you described
it. Yeah.
It was super last night. It was a great game. Yeah. The Tars did really well. Unbelievable comeback from the Rebels, 29 unanswered points. After being 34-19 down, looked like they were going to score again, the Force, and Carter Gordon got that intercept, and away he went. And they kicked on from there, and you love to see things kick on.
Oh, absolutely, we do.
Love to be part of the kick on too.
As far as Carter Gordon, you talk about him. Obviously, the World Cup was disappointing for him from a personal point of view. He would have lost a lot of confidence. You would have been pleased to see, obviously, the way he controlled the game and brought the team back into it. And he would have gained a lot of confidence. And then hopefully from that, his game will continue to grow.
Yeah, I think playing 10 is a real confidence position. Because you're in charge, you're making a lot of the decisions that guide the team around the park. You're the game driver a lot of the time. So for Carter, that, you know, last week was a little bit patchy for him, and to springboard and bounce back the way he has, that's a super sort of demonstration of hopefully what he can begin to deliver more consistently.
Mm-hmm. Swoop, this is when normally you jump in and ask a question.
I can, and I'll do that now. Thank you for the
pleasure.
Heads up.
There you go.
I guess with that, I mean, you would have been considering this role for a while now, so you've either got a game plan or not. And I want to know, off the back of what you've seen already in the Super Round and obviously last year's season of the Wallabies, you spoke about getting the team to be competitive. I guess what are the Wallabies' biggest opportunities for growth to be competitive?
Based on their last performances, which is coming off the World Cup, I think, you know, there are opportunities probably on the front foot to... you know, to be a little bit more connected and decisive. There were a few opportunities in that Wales game early on that if they could have got their nose in front, and you grow into games, but when the game starts to get beyond your reach and you're chasing a game, it's an entirely different thing. So hopefully on that side of the ball with a little bit of know-how around how we're going to structure ourselves to give us the freedom to play what we see in front of us, hopefully that's one thing. And then being connected on defence, there were a few times the Welsh, I felt they just got through seams that were a little bit too visible for them. But you know, I can't guarantee anything because they're back here in July, and we have a 3-day camp and then a match week preparation, and we're going to have to hit the ground running.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that. You talk about connection, and you just mentioned a 3-day camp before the Wales series. But will you have any touch points with it?
Tell me, and I'll ask.
And like, how much time will you get with the players before that 3-day camp, and how much communication will go on? I think I'll just tap out here.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
No, I can't.
I won't have a lot of time, but one of the things that has been unbelievably good so far is the number of conversations I've had with the super coaches. Had a long conversation with Steve Larkham this morning, caught up with Les Kiss. Had a good conversation with Darren Coleman yesterday morning.
Oh, lucky it wasn't this morning.
No, he's just woken up. No, I hope he celebrated, because I think when you're under pressure, and DC would have felt under some pressure, and your team turn up and deliver what they delivered last night, I think, you know, the position can be really tight and tough. I think leading a team that, and you're very visible, and so, you know, to quietly celebrate some of those wins that you get, I think is important. Otherwise it's a fairly long season. So I won't see the players too often, but I'll get the chance to stay in touch with the coaches, and hopefully, based on what's happened so far, that's been really positive.
Joe, I spoke to Razor Robertson, following the Waratahs win last night, and he said that counts as one towards the Bledisloe. So Australia's up 1-0. That Waratahs. So you only need to win one more, is the good news. He shook my hand. He agreed to it. Obviously, I'm joking, but...
Oh, no.
Sorry, Joe. Did you? We're like, yes! No, obviously, being in the Southern Hemisphere, we get to take on the best rugby players in the whole world. So two of your toughest assignments are against the two teams that just played in the World Cup final. How far out are you looking at what they're doing? And can you give us hope as Wallabies fans that the 21-year drought, the Bledisloe drought, without me putting any pressure on you, that the Bledisloe drought might end?
I should have gone with Darren Coleman last night. I could still be just waking up like he is. Because there's no pressure in that, obviously. I'd love it if Adam said it before around being competitive, and being competitive, you put yourself in the mix to get the result. And that's where we would love to be. You know, what we saw this afternoon, it was always a stretch. If we can stay closer than that, then I think you give yourself a chance. And so that's what we'll be looking to do. And, I'm looking forward to having a go at that. And I'll work hard. And I think what I can assure you is that the players will be working hard. And they will definitely give it their best shot.
Come on, round of applause there, guys.
With the players you're talking about, you've only got 3 days camp leading into that Wales, the test series there. Will you get conversations with the group? How does that look now up until June? Is there a big group, like a 50-man squad that you're looking at, or how does that look for the current players?
Are you trying to get picked? Selected?
Well, and also, are you watching the MLR? Yeah.
Even if you are, you won't see him. Well, he's here with us until May.
Yeah, no, I know that San Diego are right up there. They had a little slip up, obviously, in their last preseason game, 40-0 to the Utah Warriors. So there's some build up required, but I think once you and Mar get together there, they'll be a hell of a tough team to beat. So we'll be looking over there. Obviously, Mar hasn't played for the All Blacks for 5 years plus either. So you know that might be just the perfect fit. But there's some pretty good guys here too, and I'd love it to be an Australian-based team that gets selected as much as possible. There's some super guys playing offshore, and you got to keep them in the mix. But if it comes down to tight decisions, I think guys who are here, guys that you people see week to week, I think they're the ones that we want to favour if we can in those selection decisions. But I'm only one lens. Hopefully, once we get our coaching staff around us, we'll have a bit of a wider lens, and their input will be every bit as important.
Give me another go. Well, where is your coaching staff at the moment? Are you close to making some announcements? Guys, I had a big night last night.
Drew was with DC last night. But Yeah, I'm not. There won't be any announcements probably in the next 6 weeks, but we are getting closer. We'll advertise for some of the positions, and some of the positions, I think there are ready-made applicants that, you know, in the interest of probably efficiency, that will be launched into the coaching group, and we'll go from there. So that's another exciting step. Once we get that, you've got sounding boards that you can bounce ideas off, and you can start to get aligned, because, as we've mentioned a number of times, that 3 days, that has to be the most efficient 3 days we can possibly have.
Absolutely. British and Irish Lions 2025, we're all looking ahead to that. Have you started thinking about that at all, or is that a dumb question?
No.
Yeah. Dumb question? Just no, say it. You can say it.
Please say it.
Yes, I've been thinking about
it. Oh, good.
No, I think one of the challenges with that is we've got to earn the right to get the support at those games, because we're going to be playing a team that's comprised of four nations that are all ranked well above us. And it's one of the only times I can remember where, you know, the last time, I think 2013, you had Australia ranked in amongst them, if not above them. But that's I see that as a fantastic opportunity. You know, imagine if we could topple them. So you do think a little bit about it, but you can't trip over what's immediately in front of you, and that's to try to get the best coaching staff and support staff, and then get the selections right as best you can. And you'll never get those all right, because I've been coaching professionally for over 20 years and I keep making mistakes, you know, because it's just the nature of it.
Yeah. This might also be a dumb question. Have you seen the documentary, the Wallabies one?
No, I've seen snippets, skits, yeah. So I haven't seen the whole thing.
Is there any learnings from that you can take?
I'm trying to look for insights into players, who they are, because one of the things that I've had the luxury of in the other coaching international involvements I've had is that, I coached Leinster for 3 years. That was when I failed to get you. I tried to buy you, but...
Not enough money.
Not enough money.
I could have fixed that for you.
Mate, there wasn't enough left for the team. If I'd...
Come on.
But
now,
as a team of one gets, you would have been outstanding. But I had 3 years with Leinster before I was in the Irish hot seat, and so I already knew a lot of the players really well. I did an accidental stint with the Blues, which I really enjoyed, and that probably gave me a little bit of a taste to get back on the track and coach a little bit again. And so when I went into the All Blacks, I already knew a number of the players. But this is right, like an open book, really. And so I want to try to fill in as many of the words before I have to start reading something. And based on your reading ability that we saw earlier...
Yeah.
It wasn't that good, Joe.
It's better than...
We read it very slowly, yeah, Joe. Yeah.
I think your efficiency is what I need. Skip the bit in the middle.
Yeah.
Because that's boring, Drew. And
and everyone.
get there and get it done. So that's the plan.
Let's talk about efficiency. Could he be in your coaching staff?
I'd go away. I'm a podcast. We're a web series.
We're a web series.
Pirates. Yeah. No,
yeah, I'm a pirate.
Internet pirates.
Yeah. He's still a high-performance athlete.
No, yeah,
so
I don't think... Yeah, you haven't retired yet.
You're not playing me? You're retiring me? What's going on?
I just want more of you.
Yeah.
You spoke about that insight into the players. Can you share any insight with us around players that have caught your eye already? I know it's only been early and you've probably been busy doing around the grounds, but anyone sticking out with some... You know, decent performances. Anyone caught your eye? Anything you're anyone you're excited by to work with potentially?
Yeah, it fluctuates, Adam. So you know, it's quite a long season, even though it's a bit of a sprint, Super Rugby. And so there's guys with individual performances, but what I really look for is guys who can repeatedly perform, because you got to have an element of trust from coach to player and player to player. And so players want to know that this guy is going to be able to deliver week to week. What I've seen in the glimpses, you know, Tane last night did a super job, you know, and getting back in a foot race with Sevi Reese is some sort of gas to get back. And it's something I wouldn't previously have thought about him. I thought his line kicking was really good. But then you had other unsung guys like Sinclair, who got the charge down. That's just work ethic, you know. That doesn't take a huge amount of talent. It just takes a commitment to doing what's best for the team. And I love that sort of commitment. So there are a couple of guys from last night, last week. You know, talk about Tane, talk about Tom Liner. Tom Liner, I thought, controlled the game really well. He's not a giant, but he's a gutsy little fella. He took a couple of great high balls. Yeah.
Who let that bloke in?
Yeah. Yeah. He, you know, took those well, ignited a bit of counter-attack, and again, kicked well out of his hand. So you had Carter Gordon turning the game. So there's a few guys who even last week, Noah. I thought Noah, when he was up against Carter, had a good game. So there's a few guys who, you know, catch your eye one week or the next, and then you're just looking for them to stack that up.
Joe, we are running out of time with you now.
Brilliant.
Unless you want to stay. we can keep going. I guess there's the last thing we want to say is, what if you're talking to the rugby union fan, the Aussie fan at the moment, is there anything you want to say to them to sort of, I don't know, get them excited for the next couple of years of rugby?
Yeah, I really want you to stick with us because, you know, we've got a short run in. And it's when you're trying to build a rhythm and you build combos, it does sometimes take a little while. So there'll be some, I'll commit to saying that there'll be some good stuff that you'll see, but it might not be consistent enough to get us on the right side of the ledger straight away. But we'll build that ledger margin so that we can start to get on the right side of it, I'd like to think. So I don't like to promise anything, but I can promise that I'll be working hard to try to do that.
Very good.
I'm going to try. Speaking of ledgers and margins, do you mind if we sell these shirts?
Yeah. I don't know if you can give them away, Drew. But you can have mine back.
Yeah.
So that's a yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
For coming
Cheers.
On. You've got a lot
Cheers,
to do this afternoon. Jay, thank you. Thanks, Joe. Joe is really impressive. I know he's still in the room, so I'll just say it quietly.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm pretty sure we're going to win the next 30 games in a row.
Yeah. I want to know how quick will he get that shirt off.
No, I'm hoping Joe wears it in his next press conference. How good would that be?
Oh, yeah. He's bloody handsome. Yeah. Don't you reckon?
Yeah.
He's a handsome bloke.
Yeah. Clean cut.
Yeah.
Something naughty about him, isn't there?
Yeah.
We'll Can't put my it. Finger on it.
Yeah, we'll find it.
We will. So, now the podcast proper. So, we're obviously down here for Super Round. We had the Cocoa Bay yesterday. I don't know if everybody came out there. Were you out in the Cocoa yeah. Bay? Let's go through a few of these games. So, obviously, Friday, first game, Blues 37, defeated the Highlanders 29. Any thoughts there, Drew?
Why do you come to me? Look, I thought the Blues were sharp. Perifetta at 10 was just absolutely steering them around. I think they're going to be a team. They've always got a really talented squad. Maybe in the bigger games they don't quite nail it, but I think they'll be there at the back end of the season. Was that a big burp or something?
Yeah, he just burped then. That was huge.
Wow, well done.
Wow.
Yeah, burp on.
I thought there was a turnover just before halftime where the Highlanders were pressing, and they were in front and leading, obviously, most of the first half and looking quite dominant. There was a turnover from the Blues in their goal line, turned it over, then went the length and scored. I reckon that was a big turning moment in the game.
Absolutely. Then the Rebels, they defeated the Force, 48-34. Swoop, you said to me you'd have lots to say on this in this podcast.
Oh, that was yesterday.
Damn. Yeah, mate, Friday's a bit of a blur, wasn't it, Prof?
A touch, yeah.
I mean, we didn't actually get to catch too much of that game, did we?
we did. We saw it all.
Yeah, we saw it all. Mate, I actually don't have much to say on the Rebels one. I can talk about another game except that one.
Which game
do you want? So the Rebels are down 34-19.
Yes.
To be able to turn that around 48-34 in the end. Like, I mean, Joe just spoke about Carter Gordon's influence, being able to, you know, like, from behind, steer that team back. Like, I thought that his confidence would have taken a hit from the World Cup, but to bounce back like that and steer the team, I thought it was a big growth step for him.
I love how much you're punching on here.
He's committed. I'm trying because I just know you don't talk.
It's fine, mate. It's fine. I'll get there.
Moana anyway. 39 defeated the Drua 36.
Yeah.
This is when we were in the Cocoa Bay, and I think it was a good game.
Yeah, it was a great game. Good. End to end stuff, obviously. A lot of offloads, both teams willing to throw the ball around like they traditionally do. Super entertaining. We were mixed in with the Drua fans,
yep,
which was great for Drew, obviously, after last year. Most of Fiji hates him. Now they're back on board because he was supporting them.
Yeah. We also had a couple of boat races with a couple of the Cocoa Bay members.
We did.
And you had a couple of wins.
Yeah, a couple of losses too.
Oh, all right. Good honesty. I was just trying to pump you up.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
I was going to shit can him.
Yeah, no, actually, I did win.
He was horrible.
I won.
You won.
Yep.
He lost.
Yep.
You were horrible.
Very good. Waratahs 37 defeated the Crusaders 24. Unexpected win for the Waratahs, as we already discussed with Joe. Great win for Australian rugby.
Yep.
Big round of applause there, everybody. Tane Edmed for the Waratahs was amazing, steered him around beautifully. Gitz, you are a number 10, still playing. Mm. Do you like what you're seeing, Tane?
Yeah, I do. I think even you think about what Joe was talking about there, the guys that he's impressed with, the little one percenters or consistency, everyone he mentioned, as Drew touched on, was a 10. You know, so I think we do have the depth there and we have some great players. Now it's time to actually show confidence in them and support them. Whereas I feel in the World Cup, we probably left, you know, Carter Gordon and our 10s out to dry a little bit.
Whereas, who would you pick right now if you had to pick a 10 for the Wallabies?
Well, I love the Brumbies, so I'd go Noah.
They like it as well. Did you have anything on the Waratahs Crusaders, Drew? Swoop?
I thought Jay Gordon was also really strong. That combination with Tane Edmed was fantastic. Jay was strong last week as well. I think he's in some pretty good form.
It was a really good turnaround for the Waratahs. Like, they trialled poorly last week. It was a bit rough. But to come out and perform that way, it's just like, it seems like they're starting to connect better at training. They capitalised a lot on the ill discipline of the Crusaders and the turnovers. They scored a lot of points off Crusaders' errors, which I haven't seen from an Australian team in a long time to be able to do that. So that was that was positive.
Promising signs for Australian rugby. Chiefs Brumbies. We did just watch. What was the final score? I didn't actually catch it. Did you get? Did anybody get the final score in the Chiefs Brumbies?
It was 50 odd points. It was over the overs.
Over the overs.
What was it, over the overs paying?
Even money, isn't it?
It was close, right up until the last 65 minutes. It was very close. Chiefs are an amazing side. Come out of the blocks very fast. Obviously beat the Crusaders last week. Can anybody chase the Chiefs down this season?
Oh, look, they look pretty sharp, don't they? But there's some shining lights. I thought Corey Toole, he's some player.
Oh, he's amazing, huh? Yeah.
The Tool Shed.
Yeah. Is that what we're calling him?
Yeah, I think so. You want to?
Yeah.
Tool Shed's good.
Tool Shed.
Corey O'Toole stuck down a well.
What do you think from a test point of view? because a lot of people have seen the highlights and everything that he does. He looks amazing in Super. You know, would you give him that next opportunity? Is he pushing for that?
I mean, it's probably a bit early yet, but it's not the highlights that you look at. It's the work off the ball. It's the connection in the backfield, his coverage, his defensive decisions. Those are the things that will get him in a test. You know, most of the wingers can do highlight reel sort of stuff, but it's the work off the ball, that connection with the 13 and D, dropping back at the right times, that sort of stuff off the ball is probably will get him into the test team.
Now, the Reds take on the Hurricanes next. This will obviously date by the time we go to air, so we'll just say Reds won by 20. That was a good win for the Reds.
Gee, they played well.
Queenslanders. God, the Hurricanes sucked, didn't they?
They were off, weren't they?
Oh, mate, the carry-on when they lost. Unbelievable. Yeah. Who do you like in the Reds Hurricanes? Swoop?
I like the Reds, even though I've tipped the Canes.
and bet on the Canes.
On my betting page, right? But my heart's obviously with the Reds. I'm really excited for their season. Seems like, you know, Les has done a lot of really good work. They tried really well. They had a good win last week. Yeah, I mean, it's an exciting year for them. You know, they're talking about vision. You're hearing the right messages when players are fronting the media or you're reading an article in the newspaper. You know, they're talking about this alignment and connection and decision making. And yeah, they've got some class across the board. And I think they'll do really well this year.
Now, Gitz, you saw Les on Friday night, and you two were deep in discussion. Yep. Do you want to reveal for everybody what you and Les were talking about? Was there?
Well, it wasn't overly deep. I was walking past the toilet and he was coming out. and just, like, he's quite holistic in the way he talks. And he was just like, Gitz, I feel it so deep inside me that I want you to just keep going. Age doesn't define us. I've gone, thanks, Les. And then I went for a Les. But I think, you know, Joe touched on it. They were good last week. I'd love to see consistency. You know, in a young team, if they can get consistent the first 3-4 rounds, that'll really propel them, you know, to the back end of the year. But I like the way Les talks. You know, he's very spiritual and it's very galvanising.
Are you a spiritual man, Gitz?
I can be. I was this morning. Get me home.
You know, all five Super Rugby coaches, and you've caught up with... Have you seen Stephen Larkin while he's been here? Have you caught up with...
No. Bernie, he hibernates.
Yeah, right.
No, he won't be out, but I really like Darren Coleman's approach. He'll get absolutely blind the night before so that he's hungover on game day and he cares less and he thinks he coaches better.
It's a good one.
That's what he used to do in LA and it was great.
Yeah, right. You do the same thing?
Can confirm we saw him on Friday night.
All right, well, that's pretty much the Super Rugby Super Rundown. Ollie's just given me a little... We've got 7 minutes left here, Ollie. It's been a bit of a journey, just before I get to the quiz, it's been a bit of a journey of discovery for all of us down here, getting to know each other as a team. We've met lots of lovely people and we know that the rugby community is very strong, which is nice. But Drew, we just want to bring up a little run-in, well not a run-in, a moment for you on Friday night where you met a lady from your past and, well, it was an interesting interaction. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, so it was a lady that I'd seen on a number of rugby tours in previous years and stuff and she came up to me and said, Drew, it's so great to see you got your life back on track. And I said, excuse me? She goes, oh, I saw you at 2019 and you must have been going through something because you weren't in a great spot. And I was like, oh, fuck, I thought I was doing all right. And then she looked down and she's like, are you drinking? I only won. I got really judged. And then obviously...
Has she seen you today?
Well, she was in the crowd earlier. That I was like, oh, a bit awkward, but she's now left. But I was
disgusted.
I clearly don't have my fucking life back on track.
No, no you definitely don't. From the time that we've spent with you, no. Right, time for the quiz. It's time now for the Coco quiz.
Hey.
Stop it. Obviously, normally it would be with our guest. Joe had to go do another podcast, maybe. I don't know. He had to go do some work.
I think he had to go do a Schmidt.
He had to that is good gear. I like that. So today it is just a Super Rugby quiz. We are here for Super Round Melbourne. We've had a great weekend. next year, if you're sitting there and you think, what do I do early March, come down here. It's been absolutely epic. Agree? We've had an awesome time.
Amazing.
Super round. Fantastic. All right. Question number one. In what year did the Western Force win their last home game? You cheat, sweet. Were you looking then?
No.
2005.
Mate, he can't read anyway.
2005. Particularly not this week. 2006 or 2008?
Wait, sorry, what was the question?
In what year did the Western Force win their first home game?
Yeah, first, yeah.
Oh, their first
home
game.
Did I say last?
That was us.
I can't read. We learned that at the start of the show. 05, 07, 06, 08.
07.
Yeah, it's 07. Cam Shepherd.
07.
Against the Hurricanes.
You guys played, didn't you? Mm. Did you play well?
Of course. I don't know.
Did Biff?
It was amazing.
And you?
Best on ground.
Ding, ding, ding. It's 1-1, everybody. You keeping score here, Tommy? Question number two. Obviously, it is 10 years on from the Waratahs defeating the Crusaders in the Super Rugby final in 2014. Sweet. Well done.
Thank you.
Who was man of the match that day?
Couldn't tell you. Sweet. He had a lot of names, though.
Lots of surnames. It was you. The match was won with a Bernard Foley penalty on the siren. Which Crusaders player gave away the penalty that led to the winning goal? Was it... who yelled it out? It's not interactive.
Oh, Ned Kelly out the back.
Is it A, Sam Whitelock? Is it B, blah, 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 Richie McCaw? Congratulations.
Yeah. Next arsehole who ruins it's got to go.
Question number three. In 2004, Super Rugby final, our very own Matt Guiteau won the title with the Brumbies against the Crusaders. What was the final score in the game? 38-27. 47-38, 45-30, or 50-40? That was A, B, C, or D?
B.
What was the first one?
38-27.
That one.
A?
47-38.
Ding, ding, ding. B. 2-1. Question number four. In 2010, Swoop, you were suspended by Ewan McKenzie on a Wallaby tour to Europe. Mate, you dirtbag. Your mum made a comment on Triple M Radio giving her side of the story. What did your mum say was the reason behind your penalty? Was it A, because your room on tour wasn't tidy? Was it B, because you stayed late at her birthday dinner? Was it C, because you were the most senior player? D, because you were the cutest little boy in the group?
I'm going to go C.
C?
Yeah, I think it's C.
C?
C.
C, yeah. Ding, ding, ding. 3-2. All right. All of you boys have scored a hat-trick at a Rugby World Cup. And Swoop, you're one of six players to have scored two. Congratulations. In either the old or new iteration of our podcast, which guest has also scored two World Cup hat-tricks? A, Mike Phillips. B, Brian Habana. C, Dan Carter. Or D, Sterling, the Porn Master Mortlock.
It's not the Porn Man.
Oh, I don't think a Porn Man. Wouldn't be Mike Phillips. I think it's... These are bloody obvious, is it? Habana?
Yeah, Tommy, they're a bit easy this week, mate.
Habana.
Habana. Ding, ding, ding. Well done.
Yeah.
In 2012, when playing for Brumbies, Swoop, you were pounded into the turf by an opposing player. On the field, obviously.
Right, okay.
Which player...
Greedy bastard.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Which player almost ended your life? A, Jordan Kahui. B, Ma'anonu. C, Schalkberger. D, Kieran Reid.
You go last then.
You go last, yeah.
What game was it? Oh, it was half
2012.
Listening. Yep.
Playing for the Brumbies.
Playing the Brumbies.
He got pumped. A guy into the turf.
2012? Weren't you at the Waratahs then? No. You still at the Brumbies?
Yeah, I'm going to go Kahui.
Kahui. You're going Richard Kahui, eh? I'm going to go... Yeah, I'm going to go Richard Kahui as well. He could hit. I know. Well, sorry. I like it.
They're right. Richard Kahui.
Ding, ding, ding. Well done. Yeah.
Let's go to a tiebreaker, eh?
Tiebreaker.
He needs to go.
Swoop, you're out. No, I don't.
You're doing the grab.
Mate, I'll stay here forever.
Question number seven. Drew is known for his quirky antics on and off the field. Which one of these was not part of Drew's game day? Which one of these was part of Drew's...
Is he reading again?
Mate, yeah. It's you again, Tommy. You love you. Drew is known for his quirky antics on and off the field. Which
can we lock it in before an option? What you're going to say? Like what he does before a game?
Yeah.
Just a tiebreaker because Swoop's lost. He's out.
Okay. Was it A, morning bowel evacuation.
He's not thinking, is he?
He wants to log it in before you give the options.
Ah, how does that work?
Well, I just like to have a guess. I think, would it be spewing just before he runs out?
I don't have that in this.
Anyway, go through the options.
A, morning bowel evacuation. B, choking curtly, Bill unconscious in a wrestle.
Ah.
C, 20 minutes on the ab blaster. Or D, waking up and saying, thank God I didn't drink yesterday. Well, we know D's bullshit.
Yeah. Nah, it's curtly.
KB.
It's definitely not 20-minute abs. I only got 3 minutes in me. Yeah, it's curly.
Ding, ding, ding. Congratulations. Yeah. You all win. Everybody wins. Now, this next game is about to start, so we're going to end this. Thank you so much for coming in and watching. We are Kickoffs and Kick-Ons. You can find us everywhere. Insta, X, YouTube. Like and subscribe. It is at Kickoffs and Kick-Ons. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your nan. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for everybody coming
in. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We'll see you next week. Give us one.
Coco.
Thank you. G'day. I hope you enjoyed that video. There's lots more here on our YouTube page. If you did enjoy it, make sure you click like. And if you super enjoyed it, make sure you click subscribe. That's how we get lots of views. Lots of, that's how we hopefully get a sponsor. So make sure you click those two buttons and just have a bloody good day.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.